Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
And thanks again to PJ and Willie and Seamus and Lisa for that discussion. But I want to move on now, because all this week we've been getting a lot of calls from people who've loved ones, whose loved ones are in nursing homes, and really about the extra difficulties that the COVID restrictions have introduced into an already really difficult situation. I want to go now to Deirdre Dalton. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Casey. How are you?
Deirdre, your husband is in a nursing home at the moment.
He is, Casey. That's correct. Yeah.
But he's not like a lot of nursing home residents. He's still in his 40s.
Yeah, he's a young man, Casey. He was diagnosed with a very rare condition back in 2017. And unfortunately, that was the only thing we could do at the time, was full-time residing in a nursing home.
So he's been in a nursing home for 3 years?
Well, no, he was diagnosed with this rare condition. It's called an AVM. I don't know if you've ever heard of an AVM, Casey, or any of your listeners.
Well, maybe just explain to us, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very rare condition. It affects less than 1% of the population. Unfortunately, my husband, Michal, was one of them. It's basically a tangle of abnormal blood vessels connecting arteries and veins to the brain. And the arteries are responsible for taking oxygen-rich blood from the heart to the brain. Veins carry the oxygen and depleted blood back to the lungs and heart, and then a brain AVM disrupts this vital process. So he's a healthy young man, out working, fit, slim build. He's very much a family man. He's very much into his community. He worked locally in businesses and shops. He's a builder and tiler by trade. He spent 20 years plus as a butcher here in Westmead and also in Mead. And just presented one evening and came home from work. We were having a chat. I went off to bed. He followed on behind me. And just I woke up with this. He just collapsed on top of me. I didn't know what was wrong with him. I know he was foaming at the mouth. And cutting a very long story very, very short, he was brought to Beaumont Hospital for an angiogram. And when they went in with the angiogram, they discovered he has this large mass on his brain. Never any warnings throughout the years. We were married just shy of 10 years there when he first presented with a seizure. And just life-changing, Casey. No words. And he spent, from the diagnosis, I suppose, when he first got diagnosed, the size of the AVM was measuring 6 centimetres in size. So therefore, to intervene or to do any sort of treatment on it was advised not, because indeed it could have leave him dead. It basically is what we were told, in a nutshell.
And you have a daughter?
I do. We have a daughter. She's 15 now. She would have just turned 12 at the time. And it's just been very hard on us here. I have a daughter. My husband has a son. It's also difficult for him as well. And the main point why I wanted to speak to you is not Michal's condition, and I know Michal is probably listening into this show. It's mainly the restrictions around the limitations of the visits to nursing homes. When you hear nursing homes, I just want to make a point out there. Nursing homes in general, yeah, they do cater for the elderly, but there's an awful lot of young people in nursing homes around the country that are under the age of 50. And I just wanted that highlighted. Because she's under the age of 16, she has no right to see him at all. The Father's Day passed, I made a call just to see at a distance, maybe could have, because these are milestones in life, Katie, that you don't get back. And
So your daughter has not seen?
No, only from a distance, only from maybe the side gate. I'm lucky where Michal is, and I have to say the nursing home he's in, I'm absolutely overwhelmed with how they care for him. So this is nothing against any nursing home out there. It's the HSE and the restrictions that they have in place. The nursing homes are only going by what they're guided through the HSE.
Yeah, Deirdre, we were looking at the new guidelines which were put up on the website just a couple of days ago. And right. There was a line in there saying that in some circumstances that visits from children could be allowed. So
okay.
You could maybe hold out hope that your daughter will get a chance to come in. But it must have been incredibly hard to go through all these months.
It was unbelievable because when after the seizure, that was fine. He was given the diagnosis. He walked away then. He was given his Keppra medication. And he was told, you know, it, as I said, we can't touch it. We can't intervene. So not basically suck it up, but just get on with your life. And I went for the first 6 months. He couldn't drive. He couldn't get back on the road. So after June 2018, he did get back driving. He got back to work. And I used to sit with him and I'd say to him, you know what, this AVM, maybe just forget about it. It may never, ever affect you. It won't. And we learned to deal with it. Now, he became very down and depressed. He was going for his counselling. He had a Decider Skills programme over here in Lochshiva Business Park in Mullingar. They did everything for him. He came home then that evening of the 22nd of October 2018. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He was after having his dinner. We went in and we sat and looked at a bit of TV. And I just took a glance over at him. He looked like he was just falling asleep, and with that then he was taking a fit and he was gasping for breath, he was vomiting. So another big trauma. He was rushed to Mullingar General Hospital, put up into the ICU unit, then transferred at 3 a.m. in the morning straight to Dublin, and he was put on a ventilator in Dublin and remained there for just under 2 weeks. He came out of there and spent 6 months then transferred back to his hometown Mullingar, back to Mullingar General Hospital, and we remained there on the ward day and night. I paced the corridors every single day. They were very accommodating in the hospital. There was never a problem with me going in at meal time. I was his voice, Casey. He had nobody. It was just me. He does have his own family members, but in a situation like that, it's the wife that they come to. It's me that has to answer all the questions and try and help them. And then, I suppose, after that, then he was sent to rehabilitation in Dunleary for 4 months, where he received excellent care from them. They did what they could for him. And just shy of that then, just when he was coming shy to finish in rehabilitation, he had another setback. So there was another setback, a slight bleed to his brain. So he was transferred from there to St. Vincent's Hospital. And it's been a nightmare. Back to Mullingar again. He finally, after filling out all the forms and I was doing all the research, and only with the help of the staff and Eileen, the ward manager in the strokes unit in Mullingar, and Sinead Gallagher, the strokes nurse, I don't know, I couldn't have really done it. He was sent back, and like I said, we decided that nursing home was the only option for him. He needed full time care.
And what's his situation now, health wise?
He's very much aware. Health wise, he suffered. This is his third one. Most recently was in January 6, 2020, where he had another large bleed to that AVM again. And the doctor just looked at me in the neurology department in Beaumont, and, you know, he was as shocked as I was. They actually don't know, Casey. This is the point I want to make. AVMs are a very, very rare condition. Like I said at the start, it affects 1% of the population, and unfortunately he was one of them. They have no answers. They can't say, look, you know, this might happen again. They don't know. He could have 21 bleeds. He could have the next bleed, and that could just wipe him out completely. And they don't know. There's an awful lot of uncertainty, and that's what angers me, Katie. There's so much out there about different diseases, illnesses, cancer, a lot in the news lately, you know, with different diseases and ongoing cases of cervical cancer and that, and there's never a mention of an AVM. And I don't want to scare anybody out there or anyone, because you can live quite normal and independent lives with having an AVM. But unfortunately, when Micheál was 46, his diagnosis was given, it was six centimetres in size, so they couldn't operate or intervene. And it left him paralysed on the left side.
And then
he had short-term memory loss.
So he's paralysed on the left side, he has short-term memory loss. But presumably, were you able to go to see him every day, or were you... Is the nursing
every
home
day
near
up
the,
until
your
COVID,
home?
Every day up until COVID-19, I went to see him. No, okay. Sure, he spent a number of weeks in Beaumont Hospital, where I'd get up in the morning, I'd hop on the train. I wasn't in no fit state at the time to be driving that long distance on a daily basis. The same when he was brought to Dunleary.
So,
originally from Dublin, but we live in Westmeath, so I had to take that track myself every second day to see him in Dunleary.
So, as you say then, so you were able to see him every day in the nursing home until the word came that the visitation... Rights, or you know, people were no longer going to be allowed to visit.
Yeah, we're allowed a half an hour. I see him a half an hour, and to keep his head right and to keep him, you know, in a sort of some sort of routine, I do Wednesdays, and usually in the morning time, because he can get tired by mid-afternoon. So I go in every Wednesday morning at 10:30 on the button. Again, you fill out the forms, put on your mask, do your hygiene. you know, you're watching the clock like mad, you're going in, it could be 25 to 11, and you're doing your best to kind of sit there and have that intimate contact with him, to have that time to get him to actually look and chat to you.
And can you hold his hand? Can you, what's allowed?
Ideally, I suppose you have to be at your 2 meter distance, so it's not advised to do that. And it's up to anyone who's visiting, anyone, it's up to themselves how they feel that they want to do it. But for his safety, I wouldn't like to do that. But he'd kind of laugh at me anyway, and he'd be quite happy just to look at me sitting there, you know.
But he must find it, the fact that your daughter can't... what's your daughter's name?
Her name is Tara, and she's adapted very well to it, Katie. I mean, we've had this so long. But yeah, COVID-19 was just the icing on the cake. I thought to myself, life can't get any worse. This is a nursing home. I mean, I was only 45 when this happened. And this is not about me, and I want to make that clear. It's about him. And it's very, very hard and difficult for her and me, and indeed his son as well, because they're going to work Monday to Friday. There's times where you can't always be there. And then, like, I would go to see him daily. I would go to the window. But if the weather is lashing or the weather is against you, you can't just go up to see him. You know, you're hoping that it won't rain so you can go to see him.
And as you say, no. Deirdre, these are people that people don't think about when you think about this issue around nursing homes. We've been talking a lot about elderly people and, you know, people in the last years of their lives. But, you know, Micheál is not alone. There are young people who've no other options for care except nursing homes. And they're caught up in this COVID. Did he get COVID?
He did. He did get it, but he was very lucky. He got a mild dose of it, and he didn't need to be brought to hospital. But he did get COVID-19. He's in a lovely big room. Like I said, that nursing home is fantastic. I wouldn't fault them. The staff are fantastic. Everyone does their best. He has a room with an ensuite, a wide open space. He's on a bottom ground floor. So I'm very lucky in a lot of ways that I can bring her to the window. But like that on Father's Day, I mean, my heart goes out to people out there and the elderly. I just see them myself. I just see people visiting their mothers or, you know, going to the window or celebrating the 90th birthday through a screen. But just to say to them, like, think of the young people as well. Like, that, like, indeed. Father's Day was a huge thing for me, for her not to be able to have that physical contact and touch while we were behind a gate, a 4-foot gate, just to see him. Okay. And then you're given the presents over, and then you're at the mercy of them, hoping, okay, when he goes back in, I hope they explain to him what was in the present and exactly what was bought for him, you know?
Yeah. But hopefully now, Deirdre, with the new easing of those restrictions, that at least will get, you know, that can change, and Tara will be able to go in and see Micheál. I'm going to have to take a break there. Deirdre, thank you so much for raising that issue, because I think, as you say, a lot of people don't think about people like Micheál in nursing homes.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And as we were just saying to Deirdre there, the restrictions on visiting nursing homes are being eased from, I think, next week, from the 29th of this month. But that came too late for you, Mary. Mary, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. Good afternoon.
Mary, tell me about your dad.
Yeah, my dad, he was in a nursing home for a few years. Now, the nursing home did really well. They kept COVID out of the nursing home. And, you know, I think a lot of hard work and good luck went into that. But it came with a cost, I feel. Dad was in the nursing home a few years, as I say, but of course it was a difficult decision to put him in there. And he had underlying health issues that had him in there. But, you know, he was still, you know, quite aware. And we would have been very regular visitors. My mum would have gone every day to visit him. And you know, there was a lot of contact and a lot of support there. Both of them are very hard of hearing, but they just, you know, enjoyed each other's company, just trying, you know, sitting there, passing the time together. So the enforced isolation obviously was for good reason, but it definitely has a detrimental impact on both of them. And sadly, my mother's worst nightmare of not being in the same room as her husband of over 50 years ever again came through. And my mum, you know, she was cocooning, obviously, and living on her own. And she had all day, every day to think about the situation, because both of them are hard of hearing and elderly. You know, the technology solution didn't really help them at all. They couldn't hear each other.
We're hearing that a lot, actually, that with all the best intentions of the staff trying to organise these video calls and FaceTimes and all of that, that it you know, in some circumstances, if you've vision issues or hearing issues, that's just not going to work.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we could see him on the other end of a WhatsApp call, and he just looked bewildered. He really didn't know what to make of it. And you know, we could see that he was being kept isolated in a room by himself, like all the residents were, for their own safety. But it meant that he literally had no distractions all day. You know, his conditions meant that reading, which used to be a favourite pastime for him, was difficult. He could only concentrate for a certain amount of time. Television, just he couldn't see it. So he's literally looking at a wall, you know, but for the carers coming in and out. There was none of the regular activity that goes on with all the residents being in a common room together and then visitors coming and going. So it was a very boring existence for him. And we could see, you know, the few window visits, like Dad was in an upstairs room, so he had to be brought down to the window of the nursing home, and it wasn't set up for that function. It wasn't intended or built for, you know, supporting visits like this. So it was a very uncomfortable experience for those outside. You know, the, whatever way it was, that it just always seemed to be very cold and windy in that area. Dad wasn't able to lift his head much. You know, his mobility issues were his biggest problem. So, for him to lift his head up and look up out the window was an effort. And he just couldn't hear what was going on. And my mum couldn't hear, so it was literally shouting in and out for a couple of sentences. It wasn't a conversation. And then go away just feeling a little bit, you know, distraught by it all. Yeah. And literally watching the life drain from him. You know, he was a very vibrant man, you know, full of conversation, and hearing made that, you know, very hard for him, but he still tried, but the spirit was just going out of him.
And do you believe that it was that isolation and that change that was necessarily brought in by those COVID restrictions, that really sent him downhill?
I do. I mean, obviously, he was elderly. He had health issues. Unfortunately, he was going to die at some point, but it was definitely brought forward by that. And in the end, was a very sudden, unexpected death. And, you know, everybody was so shocked by it. And, like, literally, you know, none of us were with him the last week of his life. There was nobody there. We couldn't talk to him. There was no calls. We had to place our faith in the system that he was with kind people. I'm sure he was. He ended up in hospital, but not because of COVID. The hospital staff, provided very good support in terms of talking, but we couldn't speak to him. We put our faith in them that, you know, he's been well looked after. And certainly the nurses I spoke to on the phone were very kind, but they're not family, and we have no idea if he was distressed or what he was thinking about, because, you know, he wouldn't have voiced any distress to the nursing staff. He was a very quiet, reserved man, undemanding, so they wouldn't have known if he was distressed. He just kind of accepted things, but I do believe that, you know, he kind of had enough, and it just brought it on.
Is that playing on your mind now, the fact that...
Totally, yeah. And, you know, we wonder, did he feel abandoned? Like, even before COVID, he wasn't a happy resident in the nursing home. That was no fault of the nursing home. It's just that he mourned the loss of his health and his independence. And there wasn't much we could do about that, but at least we were able to visit and reassure that, you know, he was important to us, and we still wanted to see him and all that, and that was all taken away. So, I do believe that, his spirit just went and brought it forward.
And Mary, how is your mother now?
She's coping as best she can. She's kind of a bit tortured, like we all are, that she didn't get to say our goodbyes, or, you know, even in the, you know, a lot of sudden deaths, you have that, but you more than likely would have seen the person within days or if not weeks of it. This whole, she was hanging on for, you know, being able to go back to the nursing home. And now that hasn't happened and is not going to happen. and she's kind of lost.
So she never got back in the same room as her husband of 50 years from when those COVID restrictions were introduced?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And now she never can.
And she never will, yeah. I mean, yeah, the next time she saw him, he had basically passed on. He was, you know, there was a mad rush, as I say, it was unexpected. So there was a mad rush to get her to the hospital. And yeah, it was basically too late.
I am so sorry for your loss, Mary. That is, and as I say, the circumstances make it so much more difficult.
Yes, it does, yeah. And my heart goes out to everyone who's enduring this. I hear, like, of friends who, you know, have stopped visiting because the people they're visiting are just too distressed. And it just, it's heartbreaking to think about it.
I'm going to take a break. Mary, many our condolences on your loss and on your family's loss, and best regards to your mother.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to go straight away to Irene. Irene Winters, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie, good afternoon.
Irene, tell me about your dad, Paddy.
Okay, well, first I'd like to say my mom was in the nursing home for a number of years, and Dad, despite all his special needs, we brought him up almost daily to her. And they were just, you know, it was like a second honeymoon. The more she got dementia, the more she wanted kisses and hand-holding and all affection. And but then he joined her in November, and then she passed away at the end of January this year. It wasn't COVID. And after that, Dad had a 90th birthday, and he's such an optimistic man. And we had his party there, and he always makes the best of everything. And we had a great day. But then COVID came, and it went from seeing her on a daily basis to having nobody at all. So she'd been his life. They were 65 years married, 66 years actually this year. And he went from having no visitors at all. And despite being such an optimistic and uncomplaining man, I saw him decline emotionally and cognitively. Thankfully, I was able to window visit every day, which was brilliant in all weathers. But it didn't work because he's practically blind. He's got very bad hearing. So there was a lot of confusion, a lot of not able to get his phone working because I'd have to talk by telephone. And, you know, it wasn't suitable. And sometimes it just made him feel more separated and at a loss. But I so much welcome these new guidelines that are coming out on the 29th. My concern is that how they're going to be interpreted and implemented, because if they're not implemented, we go nowhere. And these guidelines, as far as I can see, are person-centred and a compassionate approach based on the needs and the rights of the elderly in the nursing home.
Clearly, you know, the cases that people were making, and you know, that has gotten through, and there is the whole tone of those new recommendations are to try and support the people in nursing homes as much as possible.
Well, they deserve a say in their own lives, and they have been saying, like, my dad got the virus, but he didn't notice it. He was asymptomatic, and so were several other people in their 90s in the home as well. So it's not always, you know, this disaster thing that we think it is. And he said even if he caught it, he'd still rather have his visitors. Now, I've been told he won't get it again because he's so many antibodies and things. But, you know, what they want at the end is, you know, I mean, in their late, late life, is their family. Nothing else really matters to them except that. So they are really, that's their one link with the world. Now, what I was hoping these guidelines do, and it talks about an hour's visitation, I hope they will specify indoors. Because what a nursing home might say is, well, we'll continue with our 15 minutes or a half an hour, but we'll allow an hour outdoors. But Irish weather and old people who fear breezes and, you know, rain and temperatures, those indoor-outdoor visits aren't going to last long once the autumn starts. And so I think they should specify that the hour is indoors. And my other concern.
Am I right in saying, though, and I don't have them in front of me right now, but from memory, that they say for up to an hour, that it's
up to an hour. Yeah.
So it does leave but leeway for, I suppose, hour. Some nursing homes might not be able to accommodate those longer visits.
Or they might say up to. Well, you see, what currently our nursing home does is they allow in two people at a time, and there's 63 rooms. So I kind of think two visitors with 63 bedrooms we visit in the bedroom is very few. And what they might say is, okay, we'll do an hour, but that means now we're only going to let two people visit per afternoon instead of the eight they used to. So it's how things are interpreted and implemented that really make the difference, you know? Because you might get...
And now, sorry, it just struck me that, as you say, if your dad has had an asymptomatic version of COVID, would you feel comfortable, you know, hugging him or, you know, holding his hand now?
I would absolutely. And I was thinking, and God bless the hairdressers, they waited a long time. I don't want to put anyone off hairdressers, but they wear a mask and they touch their clients. And the carers in there touch the residents. So I don't see why we couldn't touch, you know, we all have to disinfect our hands going in. You know, I don't see why we can't touch the, you know, our elderly people who so much crave it. And even if they said, okay, we don't want you touching their skin, but you can rub their back where their clothes is or something, I think, you know, that is something that's very important to the elderly. So yeah, I'd like to see
I just think
happen.
In particular in cases like your dad that who have... But had the virus, and if you say, but I suppose one of the issues is we don't know how long those antibodies might be in somebody's system after having the virus, particularly the asymptomatic version.
The HSE doctor told me at his age, if he got it and he was asymptomatic, he has nothing to fear. Because they usually say your second case is even milder. Well, the first case didn't even, you know, make him sick or anything, so therefore they would be worried really about the second one, I suppose. But they seem to think he wouldn't get it. But the other thing I'm so pleased about is it mentions that the people can be taken out for a home visit, a drive, some kind of outing, you know, and I think this is what they need. They need some kind of feeling that they have control over their life, and I can see no reason why somebody who can have an hour's visit with their relative couldn't be allowed home for afternoon tea. I mean, I'm not saying if they say don't bring them to cafes or whatever, fine, like, you know, because they have to look after a nursing home as well. But if the person is safe to be in there visiting them, I think they should be allowed also. Well, it says they to look at allowing them out, and I think that definitely needs to go that far.
Yeah.
The other thing is,
do you have sympathy, though?
Sorry?
I mean, and I'm just as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking of all of those managers of nursing homes who are so careful to try and keep this COVID outside the door that they're going to be very nervous about these restrictions being eased, I would imagine.
I think they will, and I think it will complicate their lives very much. But I think that it has to be a resident-centred approach. And this is the first, this new document is it. So I think they have to go some way. I mean, even if they say it's once a month, they can go out for a drive or go home. It means that the person knows there's something they can look forward to. It's not no, no, no to everything. My dad at the moment says that he feels he's in prison and that there's too many rules and that he's always getting into trouble with the rules. And it's all to do around the restrictions. And he's getting a them and us feeling. You know, at the beginning, he thought everything was great, you know, and the staff were brilliant. And the staff are wonderful. And, you know, they've gone to extra lengths because of all his better needs, you know, and that things I would do, they're now doing for him. But he just feels like he's in a battle and he shouldn't feel like that.
OK. OK. Well, listen, Irene, thank you for that. And as I say, we hope that when those recommendations come into play at the end of the month, that it will have a very positive impact on a lot of lives of all our loved ones in nursing homes.
OK, thank you.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.